WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Your top, dig yourself some fine rebop. Hidey, hidey, oh, the hidey ho, man, that's me. Hidey, 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 yes, siree, yes, siree. Oh, the hidey ho, man, that's me. Hidey, 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 hidey.
Hidey, hidey, hidey.
Hey, hidey, hidey.
Hey, hidey, hidey.
Hidey, hidey, hidey. Hidey, hidey, hidey. Hidey, hidey, hidey. Say, Jack, ain't you glad you dug my jive? Look here, Mitch, hand me over that Rice Breezy 5. Hidey ho, hidey, hidey. Just about as sharp as me. Yes, siree. Yes, siree. Oh, the hidey ho, man, that's me. Hidey,
hidey.
Hidey, hidey.
Yeah,
hidey, hidey.
Hidey, hidey.
Hidey, hidey, hidey.
Hidey,
hidey, hidey. Hidey, hidey, hidey. Hidey, hidey, hidey. Hidey, hidey, hidey. Hidey, hidey, hidey. Hidey, hidey, hidey. Hidey, hidey, hidey. Hidey, hidey, the hidey ho, man, that's me.
The hidey ho, man, Cab Calloway, and I'm very, very pleased to say that joining me in the studio now is Cab Calloway, who at the age of 72 is still energetically performing and rousing audiences. Cab Calloway was born in Rochester in 1907 and raised in Baltimore. It was in 1928 that he started leading big bands, the Alabamians in 28 and the Missourians in 29. In 1930, he began leading his own band under his own name. And Cab Calloway's bands featured some very great jazz musicians like Ben Webster, Chu Berry, Dizzy Gillespie. Cab Calloway led his big band till 1948, and then led some small combos. In 52, he toured Europe and the States as Sportin' Life in a production of Porgy and Bess. He's since been touring the country, playing clubs with an extreme amount of energy, vitality, and style. Cab Calloway, what a great pleasure to have you here.
Well, thank you. That's really wonderful. I mean, you've told everything about me that there is to be to know it.
Oh, hardly, hardly.
And you dug all of that up. I mean, that's real great. That's real cool.
What I'd really like to do is start talking about the beginning of your career
yeah.
and work our way up to the present.
Like you say there, I mean, I started back in 1928, and I was fresh out of high school when I went to Chicago. I came out of Baltimore, went to Chicago. And I went out there really to go to school, went out there to go to the Crane College. But of course, I didn't have any loot. I mean, I couldn't make it. I had to work. And so I was working in the nightclubs. Dreamland was one of the first spots I worked in out there. And then I later got into the Sunset. And it was at the Sunset where I got the first band, the Alabamians.
What kind of music did you play? What was your repertoire like? What was the style of the band like?
Well, the style of the band, we were playing what they called Western jazz. It was a different beat than the New York jazz that was playing. And of course, that was one reason why I broke up my band. I broke up this band, the Alabamians, because we were playing the Western style jazz, and we later had a chance to go into the Savoy Ballroom. And they were real hip to the modern jazz swing beat, and we weren't playing it. And we bombed at the Savoy. I mean, we opened up and closed in one, and that was a real, real dreadful thing. But it was very satisfying in a way, because I mean, I knew I had definitely established in my mind that just exactly what type of music I wanted to play and what kind of music that they want to listen to. And that flop really was a turning point.
What did that crystallize in your mind about what you wanted to be playing?
That I had my idea of jazz, how it should be interpreted, and just how it should be played. And this did it. Because I mean, with this difference of the style of the Western jazz and the Eastern jazz, I mean, it was different, and the Eastern jazz was the thing that was the beat, and then it has come all the way from there, that's right up to the present disco that you have, same thing.
In the late 20s, were you playing for any of the revues? We're going to in a couple of minutes be hearing a record whose tune comes from the Blackbirds.
Yeah, well. After when it broke up the Alabamians, of course we were out of Chicago. The boys went back to Chicago. I stayed in New York, and I went to see Louis Armstrong, who was in a show in Connie's Inn. He was playing in Connie's Inn, and he was also playing in the show, the Broadway show, Connie's Hot Chocolates. And I went to see him to see if I could join his band as a vocalist. And he said, well, no, man, you know, you don't need a vocalist. And but he said that we need a singer in Connie's Hot Chocolates. And he says, wait, I'll let you do an audition for Connie Inman, see if he... So I did the audition, and
what'd you sing?
I got
the gig. Do you remember what you sang?
I think I sang Night and Day. Huh. I think it was a song I sang, yeah.
You must have felt pretty strange asking Armstrong if he needed a singer, since he had already kind of like invented scat singing.
Well, we worked together in the Sunset Cafe in Chicago, and I knew him pretty well. I mean, and I didn't think it was out of the way. I mean, because he was my man. Uh-huh. He was great.
So you played in Connie's
Hot Chocolates. Yeah, that was in 1928 also. It was a real solid review with a lot of good music and a lot of great skits in it. I mean, we had music in there like Ain't Misbehavin' and Sweet Savannah Sue and Goddess of Rain. Can't think of some of the other ones, but there was a lot of great songs in it, and they've all, most of them have been Ain't Misbehaving.
Classic.
The show, yeah. they've got a review now, Ain't Misbehaving, which is all Fats Waller's music, and it was great.
Well, listen, let's listen to a 1929 record that you did with the Mills Brothers of Doing the New Lowdown.
Yeah, that was.
And can you recall the setting for us?
That was from Lou Leslie's Blackbird. The music was from Lou Leslie's Blackbirds, and the Mills Brothers and I both had the same management at one time, you see, and they sort of concocted this thing. I mean, got it together that we should do this record, and it's a good little song. It's a good beat.
Was this one of your first recordings?
Yeah.
The first recording?
No. I made it a few before that.
Okay, well, let's hear it. This is a 1929 recording with Cab Calloway and the Mills Brothers Doing the New Lowdown. Cab Calloway singing and scatting there with the Mills Brothers. Don Redman's band is recorded in 1929. I have to ask you, was that recording as much fun to make as it is to listen to? I mean, it's one of those things where this like big smile just like comes across your face when you hear
it. Yeah, I enjoyed that. I really did. Of course, I was a high fluting tenor at that time. You know how high I was singing way up there? Oh man. That was real kicks, though. Real, real kicks. The Mills Brothers are still going, too, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to the time when you started your big band under your own name in the early 30s. How did you see your own role as a band leader? Like, what responsibilities were yours? What was your goals of what to do with the band and your own presence within it?
Yes, just get it work. Get it someplace to play. the object was to get work and to play record. And that's what we did.
How insistent were you on like lots of rehearsal sessions and
Oh yeah, we used to rehearse twice a week.
And so you had to do the booking for the band.
I had an agent. Mm-hmm. He booked the band, and. Of course, it was an organized band. I mean, it was, and I paid the highest salaries of any band leader around at that time.
Was there ever a thing of different band leaders trying to hire people away from the other band?
Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
It's just the same thing as just like a baseball team. I mean, there's a guy playing on a team that you like to have on your team until you make a trade for him.
Did you do that with any of the music? Who were some of the people who you hired away?
Well, I took Illinois Jacket from Lionel Hampton, and I took, Doc Cheadle from McKinney's Cotton Pickers, and Chew, I took him from Teddy Hill. Chew Berry, he caused me to stop playing saxophone. See, I used to play saxophone with my band, you know, at one time, and of course I was so sad. I mean, I just couldn't cut the mustard as it should have been. And when I went to I put him in the band, he told me, he said that the only one condition that he would consider coming in the band is if I would put the saxophone down, not play the saxophone anymore, because he couldn't take that. That was the agreement. I said, okay. I put the horn down. I never played it after that. Sometime he came in my band.
Huh. Well, how was he to work?
And then I had, Chu was a wonderful guy. Oh, great guy. Just wonderful. And at one time I had Chu Berry, Milton Hinton, and Cozy Cole, and Jonah, all in the same band. It's a wonderful, wonderful group.
Was that the kind of thing, like, after the big bands were... After your band was, like, done playing a set at one of the halls or something, that musicians would hang around and jam with one another afterwards, you know, after the set was officially over?
No, we never did that. We never stayed at any place that we were playing to jam or anything. We had a club. We had a club in Harlem called the Rhythm Club, where everybody used to go and jam after we finished work.
Mm-hmm.
And that would go on forever. That's really fantastic. But they don't have anything like that now.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you developed the singing style that you're so famous for?
Well, I never would stick to the melody. I would always vary it on the melody itself. And that's how I created the style. And instead of singing just... I love you truly. I love you truly. Yes, the same thing, but it's a different interpretation. And that's how I got my style.
Well, we're going to hear another Cab Calloway recording. This one from 1935, when the members of the band included Doc Cheatham, who he was just mentioning, Walter Thomas, Benny Payne. This is, again, made in 1935, and it's Nagasaki. And do you want to say a few words about this one before we hear
it? I think in this Nagasaki, you find a lot of the same type of singing that I did on doing a new lowline. Most of it's scat.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's cool.
That's nice. Let's give it a listen.
My street, nothing else but that. I pulled the bag into the sack and we go to wagon. That bag in turnip greens, hot dogs and turnip greens. Old sacks, old wagon. Woot, 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 down the booty. I'm gonna get the mamas, old satchel mamas. Do, do, do. You get your mamas and you get your mamas. Old scoops got to be dead, fast, crazy. I jingle boys, nice folks. I'll take you to the word to price. You ought to go down Nagasaki. Ha ha, them cats are mugging. Thank you.
Well, we're talking about the big band that you started leading in the 1930s and some of the people in it. The band did a lot of touring, which I'm sure meant a lot of living on the bus. Did you like that kind of life? In the 30s and in the 40s, you know, that kind of constant traveling, being on the bus, being with a large group of people all the time who you were in part responsible for, I guess.
I wouldn't say that I liked it, but I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been everywhere. I mean, we've been to Europe, England, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Africa. South America, Buenos Aires, Argentina, Mexico, Canada, Hawaii, Australia.
Couple of places.
That's a couple of places. I've only been around a few places. And, of course, I mean, that's away from home. And of course, and on top of that, I mean, being away from home, and I raised 5 girls.
Must be hard to do when you're on the road all the time,
yeah.
Too.
But it's, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just hard. I mean, it's just like the baseball players, basketball players, and the guys are in and gone, you know?
When you had the big band, did you all travel on a bus together?
We traveled first class all the way, every time. Every time we went anywhere.
First class?
We were traveling by train, Pullman trains.
Oh, that is nice, yeah.
Traveled right on all over through the United States.
When you were, you know, going through the kinds of repertoire you're going to play and, you know, getting arrangements for the band, how did you try to balance the amount of singing and the amount of soloing that the musicians could do, like within each number?
Well, I'd pick out a song that I wanted to do, and then I wrote some. I'd write out a melody or a riff. I had a arranger that would. He traveled with us every place we went.
Uh-huh.
And he could be riding down the road, and I'd give him a lead sheet, and he'd write out the whole arrangement, sitting in the back of the bus, just writing out the arrangement. The bus is going down the road. And the next stop that we get there, then we have a rehearsal. We rehearse the number, rehearse the arrangement, and go ahead and play it.
When Dizzy Gillespie joined the band, did you have any sense that he was going to become like Dizzy Gillespie, you know, one of the fathers of bebop?
Now, Dizzy was recommended to me, too, by one of the fellows in my band. Dizzy is a great musician.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic musician, this man is. And he got I got him in there. He was, I think, was only about 19 years old. But what could he play? But he was playing such weird stuff, you know. He'd play a solo. I mean, he was like me. I mean, he wouldn't run the ordinary chord. I mean, he'd make his own chords. And I used to call him, I said, man, he's playing this Chinese music. I mean, he would say, Bobby, do a little bit, Papa, got a Baba, Bobby, little bit, Bobby, that was Dizzy. So, man, he was with my band for a long time. Until we had a little thing that happened. We were rehearsing a radio show. Well, I had a quiz show that was used to do once a week on radio called Cab Calloway's Quiz a Cal. And we were rehearsing the show at a theater up in Hartford, Connecticut. And I was in front of the microphone, and something hit me back of the head, and I didn't know what it was, and it was a spitball. It was a spitball. I really didn't know who did it. I didn't know who threw it. But I accused Dizzy, because Dizzy was quite a mischievous guy, and he was doing something all the time. So I accused him of hitting me with the spitball. So, of course, I mean, after the show, I started after him, man, and we had it. And of course, I fired him after that. But I didn't find out until, oh my gosh, it must be 20 years later that it wasn't Dizzy.
Who was it?
He didn't throw the spitball at all.
Who was it?
Milt Hinton.
Okay. Let's listen to another recording, this one when Dizzy Gillespie was in the band.
Okay.
This is called 15 Minute Intermission. It was recorded in 1940. Also in this band is Chew Berry and Hilton Jefferson, Milt Hinton, who's the one who did throw the spitball. Cozy Cole, do you want to say a couple of words about this recording before we hear it?
Well, I wrote this thing because of, in the dances, you know, and also in the theater, they would have to take an intermission. And I just jotted the thing down, and boom, here it is. 15-minute intermission, boss. Because we'd been playing and playing and playing. We want a 15-minute intermission, boss.
Okay, well, let's hear it. And it's a 1940 recording of Cab Calloway, who's my guest in the studio.
Say, what's the matter with you cats? You sure look beat back there this evening. Look like you've been knocking yourselves out.
We want a 15-minute intermission, boss. We want a 15-minute intermission, boss. We want a 15-minute intermission, boss. With your permission.
Intermission.
We want a 15-minute intermission, boss. We want a 15-minute intermission, boss. We want a 15-minute intermission, boss. With our permission.
Intermission is dub-gun music. Got stop, I'm sure. An intermission is the only cure to ease your palpitating and for sure. You never get to heaven if you treat me this way.
We want a 15-minute intermission, boss. We want a 15-minute intermission, boss. We want a
15-minute
intermission, boss.
You hear a question? Intermission, take a 15-minute intermission, boss. Take a 15-minute intermission, boys. Take a 15-minute intermission, boss. In your condition. Intermission, take a 15-minute intermission, boys. Take a 15-minute intermission, boys. Take a 15-minute intermission, boys. In your condition. Intermission is dust on music. Got stop, I'm sure. An intermission is your only cure. These your palpitating numbers, sure. You never get to heaven if you treat me this way. You take a 15-minute intermission, boys. Take a 15-minute intermission, boys. 15-minute intermission, boys. With my permission. Intermission. Cats can go on in the back and rest for a few ticks. And these folks can come back and knock themselves out in just a few ticks. But I want you cats to take it easy when you come back and knock yourself right on out now. Folks, I'm sorry. This is intermission now. You can go back to your tables and sit down. Take it easy for a few ticks. Miss Jones, enjoying yourself. Are you having a nice time, Miss Smith? Thank you very much. Intermission.
Cab Calloway in the band at the time when Dizzy Gillespie was in it in 1940. Do you think the band enjoyed singing all those tunes with you, you know, doing all those choruses? It sounds like a lot of fun.
Sure, they enjoyed it, yeah. Of course, that was the gig. I mean, they had to do it.
When the war came along, when World War II came along, how did that affect the band? I mean, I don't know the age of most of the musicians at that time, but I imagine at least some of the musicians were drafted, and the nature of the music that was played during the war might have changed too. What kind of effects did that
have? Well, it really affected everything. I mean, after the war, I mean, it's everything just went to pieces. I mean, it was theaters closed and ballrooms closed. There's nothing to do. You just couldn't make it. And, of course, we lost a lot of musicians to the war, I mean, to the Army and Navy and whatnot. But it was real tough going through there. Going through there after war days, it was real tough. And I held out my band as long as I could. And it was, of course, it was about 4 or 5 years after the war that I broke it up.
Why'd you break it up? Because conditions had changed so much?
Just couldn't make it. And then I was lucky, too, see, because that's when I got that offer to do Porgy and Bess.
And which is a real big change for you.
Oh, man, that was fantastic, man. I had a small combo, and I was working with this combo, and they came after me and asked me to do my role, sporting life. And God, dog, man, I said, this is impossible. I mean, how can I get this break? Went ahead, boy, and I broke up the band, broke up the little small combo I had, went right in Porgy and Bess. And I stayed, I was in Porgy and Bess for about 4 years, between 3 or 4 years.
And then after that, you started performing?
After I just went out and asked a single after that. And then never reorganized another band after that.
How come?
Well, I was doing too well as a single. And I could get bands any town that I went into, any place that I went to work, and that's how we made it.
There's a couple of questions, Cab Calloway, I'm going to have to ask you, such as, how did you get the hidey-ho expression?
And, I don't know.
And who is Minnie the Moocher?
Oh, Minnie the Moocher is the finest thing you've ever seen. She's been with me for a long time, you know that? And you know, I've taken her through a lot. Well, you know, we have to go all the way back, you know, when I started with her in 1931. That's when she was in with the jazz and swing, and then, of course, she went through the bebop era, and she went through the rock and roll, rhythm and blues. She's in disco now.
Yeah, I've heard, yeah. Cab Calloway, have you ever entertained thoughts of retiring, or has that just, like, never entered your mind?
What are you talking about, retiring? What are you going to retire for? Feel good, I'm happy, I'm lucky, mm-hmm. I'm healthy.
That's great.
I feel great. I'm going to retire. Sit down and fall to pieces. That's what happens when you retire, you know. You just go right all the way to nothing.
Well.
Not me.
Not you, no, sir.
No way.
That is for sure.
No way.
I'll say.
Treat me now, I'll be your round from now on.
Honey, you can never lose me.
Your latest love can never last, and when it's past, find a love like mine just now.
There,
drop a line to say you're feeling fine, and when things go wrong, perhaps you'll see you're meant for me,
just for me.
So I'll be around when he's gone.
feeling mighty fine.
And when things go wrong, perhaps you'll see you're meant for me.
You're meant for me.
So I'll be around when he's gone.
Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate too. Here's cacciatore, Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house. I fix your favorite dishes, hoping this good food fills ya. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone. You better eat if it kills you. Pass me a pancake mandrake. Having a derby irby. Look in the fendel mendel. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hannah, Davy, Tommy, Dora, mandrake. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Pasta fazula, tolula. Oh, do have a bagel, bagel. Now don't be so bashful, Nashville. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Hey, this is a party, Marty. There, you get the cherry, Jerry. Now look, don't be so picky, Mickey. 'Cause everybody eats when they come to my house. All of my friends are welcome. Don't make me coax you, moax you. Eat the tables, the chairs, the napkins, who cares? You gotta eat if it chokes you. Oh, do have a knish, knishia. Ask him the latke, matke. Chili con carne for Barney. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Face, Buster, Cher, Chops, Fump. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Everybody eats when they come to my house.